Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Yeah, it is that time of the week. A Fransky Friday right here on the Midday Show. Of course, sponsored by Morgan & Morgan, America's largest injury law firm. Off a Phillies win yesterday, a split out in Cincinnati. Now they head out west to take on the Padres tonight. Scott Fransky with us right now. Scott. How you doing, Scott?
How's it going, guys?
Pretty good, pretty good, Scott. So, Scott, talk a little bit about what Bryce Harper means to this clubhouse, man, because he came back from paternity leave and he not went out the park. So talk about a little bit of what he means to this clubhouse.
Yeah, I mean, less about the clubhouse and just about the overall lineup, right? I think where Harper is concerned. I mean, he's obviously kind of the flagship of this team. There's no doubt about it. And he's your three-hole hitter, and he's your best player. He's certainly, without a doubt, your best offensive player. And you need him to do big things. And, you know, he's just, you know, whatever it is about Harp, he's just got that way about him. And those moments, he doesn't miss too often in those moments. And yesterday was just kind of another one. You know, it's the second time he's done that, coming off the paternity list and hitting a home run right away. So, you know, obviously they needed it. Their lineup looks totally different with him in it as opposed to with him, you know, not in it. It's just a totally different lineup.
Scott, it's not often that you could say that we're watching the best pitcher in all of baseball. Obviously, Steve Carlton for a time in Philadelphia held that title. Roy Halladay for a brief time held that title. Scott, I think that Zach Wheeler holds it right now. Do you think he's the best pitcher in baseball right now? And how, what is it like watching him where he back-to-back starts one hit, and it didn't even feel like he had his very best stuff yesterday?
Yeah, and, you know, it's kind of funny. I saw him, we were riding up on the same elevator last night, and I asked what he thought. You know, kind of like the last start against the White Sox. I don't know that he felt his best. I think he feels like he's better than what he showed. I think he's learning more and more how to be not just a you know, how to be a complete pitcher, how to use that splitter, which has been a really good new pitch for him. But I think there's still some, you know, just feeling it out and figuring out which situations he wants to use it. He is, you know, for me, he's on par with the, you know, the Halladays and, you know, when Lee was at his best or when Hamels was at his best in terms of, you know, in my time with the Phillies. He's the kind of guy that every time he starts, you think something special could happen. He has that kind of stuff. He has that kind of ability. His makeup is off the charts. If there's a better pitcher in baseball, I'd sure like to see it. He's as good as anybody in the game right now.
Scott, are we seeing the Alec Bohm breakout? You know, he's had a solid career. You know, first year he came up, he hit really well, and then the next 2 years a little more choppy, and we saw some steady progression. But right now, I mean, you look at his numbers, and it's like, wow, I know he's in the midst of a hot streak, and if you're in the middle of a hot streak in April, it could look really good. But it just feels like he's hitting everything hard. He's walking almost as much as he's striking out. A pair of home runs last Friday night. What are you noticing with Alec? And do you think this may be that year it feels like the Phillies may have been waiting for?
Yeah, you know, I don't know. I think time will tell. You make a good point. When a guy gets really hot in April, the numbers get skewed. And it looks like an amazing kind of breakout season. And maybe that's what it's going to be. You know, this is a long season, and you know, obviously guys have a way of sort of playing to their track record. But the thing that you like, A, he's controlling the strike zone. Like you said, his walks are up. His strikeouts are down. He uses the whole field. He hits the ball where it's pitched. He understands situations. He understands how to just look at the scoreboard. And the scoreboard tells you all you ever need to know about what you're supposed to do when you go to the plate. You know, how many outs? Where are the runners? What's the score? What's the inning? Alec Boehm has a real acute understanding of that. You know, he's said to us before in the past, you know, you get that runner on third with less than two outs. Even as a young kid in travel ball, and he said in the program that I was in, if you didn't drive that run in, you didn't play. And it doesn't always mean hitting a two-run homer, but sometimes it means hitting a sac fly or a little bleeder the other way or a ball into the gap and, you know, or whatever. I mean, the point is, you know, putting the bat on the ball and putting the ball in play and getting that run home. And I think he has an understanding of that. That sort of belies his years and his, you know, I guess, relative lack of experience with some other players.
You know, it's funny that you mentioned that, talking about the numbers getting skewed and this baseball season still fairly being young. So is this the point where – at what point should we start worrying about Nick Castellanos just a little bit? You know, he's hitting 177 now. So is this something that, you know, we just try to work – let him work his way through it? Or is this something that we should seriously be concerned about?
It's a great question. I don't know. I mean, he – you know, they're obviously pretty clearly – Rob Thompson is giving him a lot of rope to try to work his way out of it. And he's tried a lot of different things. He's hit anywhere from fourth down to seventh. I think he's tried to show confidence in him. He's certainly gone to bat for him, with the media in terms of supporting Nick and sort of being in his corner. And for a manager, I think that, you know, has a way to pay dividends long term if, you know, see if he turns it around. I mean, they feel like there's little signs that maybe he's, you know, getting closer, but for me, I think you're getting to the point where you got to think about maybe giving him a breather, you know, and giving him a time where he can maybe sit on the bench and recollect, you know, restart, if you will. I think you're kind of getting to that point if you haven't already gotten there already, but again, this week, two lefties, no Harp, kind of hard to sit, you know, Castellanos in the face of that. But, you know, the rest of this road trip, we might find a day where he's on the bench and getting a breather.
Scott Fransky with us on a Fransky Friday. Scott, I thought it was interesting, one of your pregame interviews with Rob Thompson this week. You guys were talking about Spencer Turnbull and the idea of him now likely headed to the bullpen with Taijuan Walker back. But when Rob was talking about the process to figure out is he tired, how many innings will he have left, it didn't sound to me like it's a number, that they've changed the way that they view things now. And I sensed, it was just a sense, he didn't say this, that the door is now, it's still open that Turnbull could come back into the rotation, that he's probably going to leave for now. But maybe it's not set in stone that, oh, he didn't pitch much last year, so he doesn't have many innings left. And maybe if they want him to, he could come back in the rotation.
Yeah, I think that's certainly a possibility. You know, I mean, you're not going to get through the season with five or six starters. I mean, if you do, you're incredibly lucky. So I don't think that it's a situation where he's, you know, shut down and we don't see him again. I think there will be spots along the way. You know, you'll have a doubleheader here. You'll have, you know, a game where somebody, you know, whatever, got chased from the start early, or somebody gets hurt and needs to skip a start. They definitely keep a real long view, and you're right. They do that. They sort of analyze this totally differently now. And there's a lot of biomechanics involved, and they look at a lot of the analytical numbers that tell them, in their mind when a guy is fatigued, that he changes things with his delivery or his arm slot or, you know, spin rates change, velocity changes. So it's not a situation like it used to be where they just said, all right, well, he threw X number of innings last year. We'll give him, you know, 10% more, 15% more this year. It's not like that anymore. Not in today's game, not with all the, you know, the, again, all the analytics. And again, it's a big part of the biomechanics field, I think, that baseball is discovering.
Scott, Sir Anthony Dominguez was such a big part of this bullpen for years, and especially the playoff run in 2022, what he did with big outs. And it just feels like every time they put him in a spot this year, and even a lot last year, it's not the same. Do you think we're close to the point where we see less of him with leads like the other night and more of him in low leverage spots until he figures it out again?
Yeah, I do. I think without a doubt his next outing is going to be one that's a lower leverage spot. And I think part of that is because Rob looks at it as though, hey, I want to get him a little bit of a soft landing, find him a place where he can, you know, sort of be comfortable and not be tense and you know, worried about, you know, giving up a one-run lead or something late in the game. I do think you're going to find kind of a soft landing for him. And I think, you know, he's trying to change the grip on his slider a little bit. I don't know if that's had some effect on his fastball or not, but, you know, the other night was off the charts, out of whack for Sir Anthony. I mean, he's struggled this year, but the other night looked even to a new level. I mean, you come out and throw two pitches to the backstop, that opens some eyes real quick. So I do think you're going to see him in lower leverage a little bit here in the near term until he's sort of right again.
Well, hopefully he gets right because they could use him. And until then, I agree with that.
Him.
Yeah, they do. I mean, you're right. They have three or four guys you trust, but after that, it's a little, the middle is kind of thin there. Scott, we always appreciate you hopping on. Enjoy this series at San Diego. Great pitching matchup tomorrow and Walker Sunday. And a great weather trip, right? It's San Diego and then Los Angeles the next few days for you guys?
Yeah, I don't know what the deal is. There's all kind of clouds this morning. This is not fair.
Yeah, we all feel so bad for you in San Diego.
Yeah.
Scott, we'll be listening. Thanks for hopping on.
All right, see you, boys.
There you go. Scott Fransky from out in San Diego as the Phillies get ready for a series tonight against the Padres. So, yeah, we're going to see Taijuan Walker on Sunday. You guys pumped up for the first Walker start?
Yeah, I am. You don't believe me.
Why would you be pumped up?
I mean, because I want to see what he's going to do. I want to see, you know, he's excited. He kind of forced his way back into the lineup. Yeah, I want to see what he's going to do.
He kind of
bullied his way back into it. Why not?
He did.
Because he feels like he's ready to go.
I want to see
what he looked like.
I'm less than enthused.
He's consistent, at least.
He's our Tobias of the Phillies.
That was a shot. I knew.
Makes a good amount of money,
too.
No,
I'm just saying. I just want to see. He pushed his way back into the lineup. I want to see what he got.
I'm glad you asked the Castellanos question. I just wonder how many more days they could play him without, like, a little reset here, Nick.
Constellanos.
I mean, the guy, after tonight, he's going to have 100 at-bats. I always feel like 100 at-bats is a good sample. Like, it's not 2 weeks in anymore, and you've had 100 at-bats. He's hitting 177 with one extra base hit. I mean, that's remarkable. He's got to get going here because they got Harper going, Bohm's on fire, Turner's hit well, Marsh. You know, they got the crux of a good lineup here. You know, at least a top four or five. Castellanos, time to wake up here. All right, 215-592-9494. It's how you hop in. Lot to react to, of course, with the Eagles last night selecting Quinyon Mitchell with the 22nd pick. Didn't have to trade up. Howie Roseman gets himself a corner. And, of course, the Sixers. 50 points for Joel Embiid last night. One of the great performances. Really, when you consider the efficiency, one of the great offensive performances in postseason history. How about this list? Centers with a 50-point playoff game in the history of pro basketball. You ready for these names, Hugh?
I'm listening.
Will Chamberlain, Nikola Jokic, Joel Embiid. That's it. No other center besides those three has ever had 50 points in a playoff game. Kenny from the Dirty 30s up. Hey, Kenny.
Hey, guys. Before I get into my Sixers and Eagles, Hugh, I am a 59-year-old man who loves Skechers. I have six pairs of those slip-ins, man. They were made for us old guys.
But do you have the kind that Joel Embiid is wearing?
No, I don't have those, but I got every other one. I even got the Snoop ones.
Oh, the Snoop ones look pretty dope, though. They do look pretty dope.
So you found him. You found the Skechers guy. It's Kenny.
Yeah, I'm it. So, and I'm proud of it too. You know, people say that's for old guys. I say, well, there you go. I am.
Definitely like this.
Nothing wrong with that, yeah. Kenny, what are you thinking on the Sixers and Eagles?
So I've heard that the Chuck from Mount Aries, and I've heard the Joe from New Hope guys all saying what a disgrace it was, and Kyle, what a disgrace it was last night. And I don't disagree with it. But there's an expression, you reap what you sow. When you got players that you paid premium tickets for during the season to decide they're not going to play like 2 hours before tip-off, when you got an owner who decides that he cares more about the Redskins than any other franchise, when you got just the general disrespect that that organization shows to Philly, this is what you get. You get a team when you've proven that in the past years you're not going to rebound from it. So the fans are like, you know what? If I can get double or triple face value, I'll do that because I'm going to show them the loyalty they showed me.
So, Kenny, I think that's fair. I think what you're saying is fair. I do. You're right. That it's been years of failure in the playoffs and all that other stuff you mentioned. I just wish, and I know the secondary market makes it hard because it's just the internet, I just wish people would sell it to other Sixers fans who do want to go instead of a Knicks fan.
I wish that too. But see, here's how the world works. There's what's right, there's what's wrong, and there's just the way it is.
Yeah.
And sadly, this is just the way it is. And, you know, I'm as loyal as it can be as a Philly fan, but if someone's going to offer me triple face value for the first round playoffs, and that means I could actually go to two more games for free, I'll do it.
And you know what? Other people probably did the same thing last night. What'd you think, Kenny, of the draft? You like the Mitchell pick?
I loved it because I had no clue that any cornerback should still be sitting there. The fact that all three of them were sitting there, and you got a kid. All I need to know about that, there's two things I saw that last night said, I love this guy. One, did you see the look on his face when he got drafted?
Mm-hmm.
He was all business. He wasn't joking around like that Alabama kid. And the second thing, he turned down a ton of NIL money to stay at Toledo because he wanted to be loyal to the team that gave him the scholarship. That tells me character and business. He ain't fooling around, and I love that. Love it.
I loved it too, Kenny. And you know what? Because no one else does it anymore. Kenny, good phone call. And it's just so rare, Hugh, that a player would stay. Loyalty in college sports, I mean, loyalty in any sport now, it doesn't happen anymore.
Man, listen, and knowing what we know about the NIL money that the Alabama kids are getting, for you to turn down all of those accolades to stand the lead, I mean, I applaud it. I would like to think that I would do the right thing and
would
stay.
You have?
No, I probably wouldn't. I ain't gonna lie. When they start throwing that cash around me, you know how money speaks to me.
I mean, I think it after speaks, what you said about the fans, we all can.
I mean,
hear
I'm
it.
Just saying. I understand why the fans did what they did. I mean, because that's a tough one. If you're talking about triple face value for some tickets, and it's a New York fan, yeah, I go ahead and head crack them. If they give me $3K a pop for two tickets, $6K for two tickets? Yeah, I'm going to
Yeah, but you're cutting
you.
Off your nose to spite your face.
Yeah, but it's like they won't get the next ones. You know what I mean? Because I know this team is alive now.
Well, so, but you didn't know that before you sold the tickets. I mean, yeah.
No, I didn't know.
Yeah, didn't know.
But now I know that they're there.
Yeah, I love that he stayed at Toledo. I you know, and the fact that the story kind of plays out that they were loyal to him. Quinyon Mitchell had academic issues coming out of high school. Some schools that he thought he may have a chance to go to kind of pull their scholarships, said, well, you don't have your grades together. We can't hold a spot for you. Toledo was loyal to him. And then when it flipped back around 3 years later, he's a big prospect and Alabama wants him. All these schools want him. Well, he was loyal to them. I thought this story was cool too. So Jason Candle, head coach at Toledo, that's the guy who was the friends with Sirianni and gave him the information on him. He was on Zach Gelb's show on CBS Sports Radio. Listen to what he said about Quinyon Mitchell. Listen to this story about him. And it kind of shows to his football character and his work ethic.
He had a top 30 visit with the team this year. He stays overnight in that particular city. They fly him back on a 6 a.m. flight. You know, I look out of my window and he's in the 10 o'clock a.m. workout group running with our guys.
Wow.
And they're running, you know, they're training. They're not, you know, hey, we're going to condition because spring football's over. We go right into 2 weeks of real training to preview the summer. And man, oh man, a guy that's a first round draft pick, he's on a top 30 visit. He gets a 6 a.m. flight. He's back in Detroit at, you know, whatever time, 8 o'clock, and he's in his car and he's here to be in a workout and he's right there running with the guys that he played college football with. You can't make that up and then you can't script that. And nobody's telling him to do that. His agent's not telling him to do that. I'm not telling him to do that. That's just who this guy is each and every day. And
That, you know what? I could see the Eagles loving that story. He loves football. He loves competing, teammates. That fits the whole thing.
Yeah, and he has that want to, man. I think a lot of times when you get these draft picks, regardless of what school they go to, they got to have that desire. They have to play this game for more than the money. And I think it's obvious that he's proven that. He's proven that by not going to Alabama and taking the cash. I'm telling you, dog, like I've heard stories of some of this NIL money, and I've seen pictures of kids that have not played a down at the school that they signed with, coming up driving luxury cars that cost more than some people's homes, like right out the gate. So to hear that and to know that he had an opportunity from Toledo to go to Alabama and play, and he didn't take that, that says a lot about him. Like he wants to be something more than just a number one draft pick that gets paid a lot of money. He wants to be special. That's what it kind of sounds like to me.
Yeah, and it tells me he's going to be a team guy, too. He wants to be part of something. He felt part of Toledo. He went back and worked out with kids that probably aren't going to make the NFL as he's on his way to making the NFL. He wants to be part of something. Ryan's up next. Hey, Ryan.
Hey, how's it going, guys? I was already on, so I'll be real quick. I just wanted to bring it up. No one's been talking about it yet. The A.J. Brown extension.
You're darn right, Ryan. Ryan, man, we appreciate it again. I'm at Ryan Stuckon again. I like that. Right? Did he not ever leave the board? I don't know how that happened. That's all right.
No idea
you know
what he's
talking about. Yeah, he hung on for an extra hour to make a second point. Good for Ryan. Yes, the AJ. We're going to get to the A.J. Brown extension because it, of all the big things yesterday, like that one kind of caught us all a little bit off guard. I mean, first of all, Howard, who I guess is really trying to win the Insider of the Year award.
Yeah, he's going for broke.
I mean, he called the A.J. Brown extension yesterday morning, and then boom, it happened last night. We'll get to that coming up in just a few minutes. Our reaction to the A.J. Brown deal and what I think it means for the now and the future. Joe in Jersey. What's up, Joe?
Hey, it's Black Panther. How we doing?
What's going on, Joe?
Guys, let me tell you something. My whole theme, I have a whole string of people, you know, for the draft. We're all going back and forth. How we sit on your hands. And thank the blessed mother he did. We're getting a high-quality person. This kid has all the traits. He's runs a 4.3 40, physical. You're going to see him blitz. He's off the ball. He played off the ball. He didn't play a lot of man-to-man. I think he fits what Fangio wants. And I believe you might see this kid as a kick returner because of his speed. So you put that in the back of your head. Going to the second round today, Edrin Cooper is right there for us. If we could get Edrin Cooper and we got this kid, this would be an unbelievable draft. I want to throw out another name and see what you guys think. This kid from Alabama, Braswell, no one talks about him. This kid could be a really good pick in the second round. And also I would take Wilson. But I think we got to come away with one of these linebackers. Edrin Cooper would be a great pick.
Oh, so I agree. Yeah, Joe, he's an awesome player. I saw some mocks yesterday. Joe, we appreciate it. Before the draft started, where some people thought he could sneak it to the bottom of the first, the Cowboys were a team I saw did mock to take. So if Edrin Cooper's there at 50 or 53, it could solve the linebacker issues that they've had here for a very long time. I mean, he seems like he could be a star. So, I mean, look, if they come out of tonight with an offensive lineman and a linebacker, I think that'd be a good night.
That'd be a good night. But which one are you taking first, the linebacker or the offensive lineman?
So the picks are really close. I mean, obviously,
there's two in between.
But, yeah. I just would take the player I think is better at 50, right?
You don't want to reach.
You know, and you don't want to risk it that someone jumps in or, you know, whoever.
Take your guy.
Yeah, at 51 and 52.
Yeah, but 53 and 50, that's really close together. So
it is.
It wouldn't be a reach.
So where are those picks? So this starts with 33 tonight. So we have, like, what, the 17th and 20th pick in the round or something, you know, to that extent. So they're kind of in the middle, right, to the second half, the beginning of the second half of this block of picks tonight is where the Eagles would be. O-line, linebacker, I would not turn down an edge rusher. And I also think wide receiver could be in play tonight. As much as I thought it was ridiculous in the first round, 2 second-round picks, there's some good wide receivers on the board left, and we know they could use a slot guy. 215-592-9494. On the other side, we will react to the A.J. Brown deal. On another day, it's probably the lead thing we opened the show with, but they did have
so
a draft last
going
night.
On.
A lot going on. And we had, of course, a big Sixers night with Joel Embiid. You can react to all that. Our thoughts on the A.J. Brown deal, the money they gave him, the timing for it, what it means going forward, all things of the new A.J. Brown contract, the new highest paid per year receiver in the NFL. Coming up next, right here in the Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/AcrossAmerica.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Welcome back, Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio, Kyle Quinn behind the glass. You guys with us, 215-592-9494. On a night, the Eagles land Quinyon Mitchell with a 22nd pick. Joel Embiid goes off for 50 on a bad leg, and we found out Bell's palsy. There's also another big moment that happened here in Philadelphia sports. So we're doing the pre-draft show yesterday. It's about, 7:45, right before the draft is about to start.
Mm-hmm.
And the news breaks that the Eagles and A.J. Brown have agreed to a new deal. 3 years, $96 million with 80 plus guaranteed. Hugh, what did you think? I mean, I wasn't totally surprised because Howard has been kind of hinting at this for a few days.
Been a little bullish about
this.
Yeah,
yesterday morning with the morning show, he said that they started discussions. Now, I was a little surprised it happened as quickly as it did. Not shocked though that they gave him a new deal, and Hugh, they gave him a raise, which that stood out to me because Devontae just got paid, right? So they were kind of on even footing. Not anymore.
Yeah, I mean, it was, I love you, we want you to be here, and could you please stop sending out those old stupid-ass subliminal tweets that you've been doing lately?
Can I get $96 million to stop sending out stupid tweets?
That's basically what it was. Like, listen, you can say what you want to say about, you know, the speculation about him being traded or whatever. I know it kind of started here, but he had a hand in it as well as far as some of the subliminal tweeting that he was doing, liking of tweets and, you know, changing profile pictures or whatever. Matter of fact, did he change his profile picture back to some of the Eagles? And then wasn't there one time when he scrubbed all Eagles content or whatnot?
That was before the playoff game, right, when he was hurt.
So now we can stop playing those games because they gave you a ton of bread. I'm happy he's here, man. Never wanted him to go. I've always been a fan of his. Even when people were talking about he was the cancer in the locker room, I don't believe that to be the case. And the people that I've talked to don't feel like he is either. So since they gave you all this bread, dog, can we just keep it 100 and stop posting all this subliminal stuff, talking about this, that, and the third, and just play some football and win a Super Bowl?
Well, here's what we know he is. When he's on, you know, his mind is all in football. He's a great player. I mean, like, his career is off to an incredible start, both with the Titans and the Eagles. Let's listen to Howie last night. They snuck an A.J. Brown question in there in the post-draft press conference.
That's the word, you know. We try to be proactive to try to keep this team together. You know, that starts with Jeffrey and his support, like we talked about in our pre-draft press conference, and just talking about the benefits of trying to keep it together as much as we possibly can. And the only way we could possibly do that is by doing deals early. And, you know, we felt like it was an opportunity to do that here. With AJ, obviously we've done a bunch of deals with a bunch of our players, and we want to add to that, and we want to try to keep this team together as much as we possibly can. We couldn't do that without his support and allowing us to do that, and we felt like the earlier we did that would be better for us and him, you know, and him knowing that he was going to be here, and, you know, he's a great player and captain of this team.
Well, he is a great football player. I mean, he's off to one of the great starts in NFL history in terms of receiving yards, in terms of yards per game. I mean, you look at it for his career. A.J. Brown in his career has averaged 77.2 yards per game. I think it's over 80 with the Eagles.
Mm-hmm.
So his 77.2 is the 10th highest in the history of the NFL. I mean, most of these guys are more recent as the game has changed. And it's more of a passing league. Still a big number. I mean, A.J. Brown, 77.2 for his career per game. To give you some context on that, Michael Irvin averaged 75 a game. Jerry Rice averaged 75. I'm not saying he's better than these guys. I'm just saying.
No, like, but they're just giving him perspective. Yeah, some perspective.
T.O. averaged 72 per game. This guy's at 77 per game. Obviously a great player. And I'm with you. Hopefully this calms down all of the because it was weird. I mean, it got weird as soon as the season ended between him and just everything. It was odd.
Yeah, and the passive aggressive, man. I mean, and let's be real. You were being passive aggressive, which is okay. I mean, at times I'm passive aggressive. But it's like, don't act like you don't know what people are talking about when you make posts about Tom Brady and their speculation about the Patriots. So now we ain't got to play these games no more. You're going to be here. You're part of this team. You don't have to worry about, you know, having that conversation. So let's just play football. Let's go ahead and get this Super Bowl and just keep it moving.
So I got two more thoughts on this. One, Howie always is ahead of everything, right? Like, you know what's going to happen soon. Jamar Chase is going to get paid. Justin Jefferson's going to get paid.
Yeah.
So he got the Devontae contract done before Amon-Ra St. Brown. So they paid Devontae $25 per year. Amon-Ra got $30. He saves $5 million a year by doing it early. And now he gets the A.J. Brown deal done. They gave him $32 per year. If I had to guess, CeeDee Lamb, Jamar Chase, and Justin Jefferson are going to come in at like $35 per year. So He's going to save on this too and keeping the player year early. It's what Howie Roseman does. Last thought, and then we'll go back to your phone calls and all this. The other thing that hit me is, it's cool that we have all these guys signed up for a while, right? They have everyone on this offense basically under contract for a while. It does put pressure, though, on Jalen Hurts to get this thing done in the next couple years. Because as I look forward, I know we say Howie and the cap, and he's a genius. It's eventually they're going to look up and say, man, we're paying the quarterback a lot per year.
No,
receiver a lot, and the receiver a lot, and the lineman a lot. It's not easy to keep a team together for 5 years with this many expensive players. So Jalen, it's gone Jalen now to win with it. Before they say, we got too many expensive players and not enough wins.
And listen, that's what I've been saying the whole time, and that's why I've been real bullish on going out and getting another weapon. Because the more weapons we have, the more it's going to fall on Jalen Hurts' shoulders to get it done. And I think that he can get it done. And I think that there is a couple of Super Bowls in that window with this team being together like it is. And one of those years is this year, Joe. That's why, for me, defense and all the stuff that we talk about of not being prepared or whatever like that, I think at the beginning of the year, that will be valid. But as we progress through the season, this team will get better. They will get more comfortable with some of the schemes that they're running, and they will be a much better football team. And that's why it's not so much Vic Fangio. Well, it is Coach Fangio and his coaching staff. But it's also just being comfortable knowing your assignment week in and week out.
Well, it's also, you know, having a lot of really good players. They added one on defense last night. Your chance to react, Quinyon Mitchell, the Embiid game, and, of course, now the A.J. Brown contract extension. Black Gritty's up next. Hey, Black Gritty.
You what it do, Joey Bear, Quinn Jet. So first things first, I think in these streets it's kind of hot on you and Jack, Joe. I mean, I don't know. I think the cowgirl Jim called him Fat Gritty. That dude's killing y'all on the internet over this A.J. Brown stuff.
Why? Why is anybody killing him?
There's a whole petition. I done seen, like, multiple tweets and retweets. I mean, I'm just saying, they going to y'all. You know what I'm saying? Watch yourself. You know what the craziest thing about it is? Yes, he's a diva. But guess what? When Jalen Hurts goes out there and trains with Tom Brady, nobody say nothing. This man changed the picture, and everybody act like Tom Brady's still in the league. He don't even play no more. He retired. So you know what it is? My man got that bread. He's a eagle for life now, you know what I mean? T.O. ain't going nowhere. My T.O. 2.0 ain't going nowhere. I'm happy about it. Now, the draft pick. ESP don't know nothing. Flip-flops, you don't know nothing. Let me tell you something. They got the number one pick in the draft. You know how I know that, Hugh?
How you know?
Because every quarterback was still available. So they got to pick first, right?
Yeah, they did.
They got to pick the one.
That's how I look at it.
Wanted.
Yep.
Hey, Fangio's out there. Yeah, he picked who he wanted. This dude's out there hungry. He ain't got no spouses ready until he got the crap. He got the crap. He did the Eagles, and he was happy. You know what I'm saying? But he's about that business. He's about that life. And he's built for the mentality of going up against the Joe Gillios and the Jack Fritzes of the media in Philadelphia.
Well, then you know what? He better be if he's going to win. He better be if he's going to win here.
Hey, I believe until I see otherwise, you know what I'm saying? Because like I said, they had the first pick. So Howie better hit it. Yeah, I mean, ain't nobody know but they know. Now on to the 76ers. 10 from the Dirty 30 was right. Oh, you reap what you sow. Why are we always too cool for school? I watch Miami Heat. They put on the white T-shirts. Even fat people tuck it in like a bib. We don't wear none of the shirts. We sold our tickets. And when you go down 0-2, I kind of can't be bad. But y'all better show up on Sunday and show out. Because Joel put up a 50-piece with a frozen face. I don't want to hear nothing. Clap your hands. Philadelphia's on the rise. Bryce Harper's back. That big daddy energy out there doing what it do. I love you guys up in these streets. Watch yourself, Joe Chili. They coming out of New York.
All right, Black Gritty. You enjoy the weekend.
City coming.
The streets are coming after me. What, why are people mad? Because of AJ stuff? I don't get it. People are mad at me and Jack because A.J. Brown got an extension. Kyle, can you translate all this? I'm confused. I'm confused with Black Kids.
I think somehow it got crossed up and convoluted that we all started rumors that A.J. wanted out and that A.J. would be traded, which you know how that happens.
Sure.
Yeah.
It was speculation.
Right.
Of course.
That somebody, you know, that doesn't listen to the show on a regular picked up and ran with.
It's probably also people get confused when I talk about the idea of trading a player for something I think is better that I don't like the player.
Yeah,
AJ's a great player, yeah. And I have always liked AJ. I mean, I fought with everyone on the show last year that he's the best Eagles receiver. I said he's going to wind up the best Eagles receiver ever, but yeah, we talked about trading him for whatever, Surtain or the third pick.
I don't know how I can make this any more clear. Like, we're not reporters or journalists.
We're speculating.
We're talk radio. We're on talk radio.
We speculate.
Also, I actually think that if I suggest trading a player for something great, it's actually a compliment to the player.
Sure.
Like Juan Soto, Bryce Harper. It's a compliment to Bryce Harper.
Any player worth a damn has been traded on WIP.
That's how you know you're worth it. So Quinyon Mitchell, when you start playing well, trade you too.
If you ain't got haters, you ain't popping. That's what the kids choose to say.
Yeah, the kids say that. All right, let's talk to Fabian. What's up, Fabian?
Hey, how's it going? How's it going, Joe? Who?
Hey, Fabian. What's up, buddy?
Yeah, I mean, great pick, Quinyon Mitchell. I mean, the guy's young. He's you know, he's pretty fast. He's quick. And, you know, you can tell he has high football IQ. And the biggest thing I like is the fact that we didn't have to give nothing up for him.
Well, I'm with you, Fabian.
That excites everybody.
Because yesterday the rumors were they were going to trade up, and that would have meant probably losing one of these two second-round picks. They got the player, and they still have both picks.
And just the fact that, like, you guys are mentioning, like, you know, like, when he was coming out of high school struggling with his grades, you know, Toledo was, you know, they stuck with him and he became loyal to them. So imagine, you know, after him seeing all these guys going before him because he was projected to go at least the top 12. And so imagine all these guys are passing up on him because, oh, you know, well, he goes to a small school or, you know, he doesn't really play the press coverage, you know what I'm saying? And the Eagles took a chance on him. So, you know. He might go repay that favor and, you know, be loyal to us. So,
absolutely. Fabian, I think it's true. And I just like that mentality that it's not just about me, right? It's about the team. It's about the program. It's about – I just think we need more of that. And I'm glad he's here, Fabian. He could be a home run pick if he could play right away.
Yeah, last thing, too. I just with our two picks today, I mean, I would like to see, of course, Edgerrin
Cooper.
Edge
Cooper, yeah.
Him or Trotter, of course, and with the other pick, I like the receiver Keon Coleman from Florida State.
He's an interesting player. Yeah, there's still some good receivers out there. Fabian, we appreciate the phone call. You look at the best available, the players that are still out there for today, and the different positions. There are some, and that's what I was saying yesterday with receiver. Feels like we're in a thing where now every year there's a lot. So Adonai Mitchell from Texas, Ladd McConkey from Georgia, Keon Coleman, Florida State,
the receiver.
Jalen Polk, Washington. These are all receivers. Troy Franklin, Oregon. There's still a lot. Roman Wilson, Michigan. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if, I don't know. I mean, in the two rounds tonight, I wouldn't be surprised if we see 7-8 more of these receivers go off the board.
You said Adonai Mitchell, didn't you?
Yes.
Said that? Yeah.
Why he slipped? The Mitchell, the kid from Texas?
Yeah.
I saw that he has, I think he's diabetic, and teams were concerned about how that would affect his body.
But then you have some dude that got drafted, 15th pick, who got a neck fusion and all this stuff. It's amazing how certain things will have teams out on them and certain things won't.
Now, how dare he be diabetic?
Yeah.
Well, I don't think it was like that. It's just how would it affect his body?
On a daily basis.
This is funny to think about. Diabetic, off my board.
Yeah, but your neck being fused and not being had that movement, we good to go on that one. It's crazy, ain't it?
This is what I saw. Now, this may be unfair. Now, look, if you're worried about how it affects his body, like, that's fair, right? But I read this. I was trying to find the article. So a scout told Bob McGinn. Bob McGinn's been doing like this anonymous scout thing with the NFL draft for years, where he talks to all these scouts and he puts it in a story. That some at Texas felt that he was uncoachable, abrasive, and rude when his blood sugar was low. Like it affected.
I mean, but who doesn't that happen to everybody whose blood sugar?
Of course, but I guess that
isn't that. Didn't the Snickers people make a bunch of commercials about that?
Snickers, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean that. Well, I think that happens to a lot of people.
What did he say? Hangry. You hangry? Hangry?
Hungry?
Hangry?
Yeah. Hangry.
Hey, you might need a Snickers because your blood level. Come on, man. Stop it. I would probably go in there. If my coach did me like that, somebody has to get slapped across the lips. He gets a little hangry when his blood sugar's low. Seriously?
So are you saying this is a potential steal for the Eagles?
It could be. But,
and he gets a Snickers thing.
Hey, but it's kind of funny. His blood sugar, get low. You know, he gets low ornery. He gets a little ornery, seriously?
Yeah, and I guess there's also a worry that he's not managing it well, I guess, because he's having these – outburst. I have no idea. I've never seen that it connected to a prospect.
that is crazy.
You see all different red flags, right? Like every year there's a different player with a different on the field, off the field.
Your blood sugar's low.
But
so you drop in the draft.
Because we originally saw a lot of first round mocks where he was in, and he's not. He was in there.
That's kind of, yeah. I mean, you know, I know I'm making light of it, but that's a hell of an excuse not to draft somebody, though. Seriously, I mean, all jokes.
Well, he could be a steal then. All right, we got another rumor heading into tonight. And this one's kind of a carryover from last night. According to Jacine Anderson, the Patriots had preliminary discussions with the Niners about Deebo Samuel. Patriots, Niners, Deebo. Now, the Niners took a receiver right at the end of the first round last night. A lot of people think it means one of Deebo or Ayuk is out of there. Are we seeing the 49ers break up a little bit here?
Yeah, we're also going to witness the downfall of Brock Purdy when he runs out of all these weapons that are propped
him
up.
They got him a receiver, didn't they?
They did in the first round.
They got him a receiver last night.
So but we know it tells me they are already preparing that they have to pay Purdy after next season.
Yeah, because they got a youngin.
I mean, they're not as good if they trade Deebo. Let's just put it that way.
No, and they're not as good when they pay Brock Purdy. So.
Well, yeah, Well, they have a whole year on that. But if they're already trading away Deebo, it means they're preparing for that contract.
Oh, they're preparing for life without either Deebo or Brandon Ayuk.
So, yeah, totally.
That's what it feels like.
They totally are. Let's talk to Greg, who's up next. What's up, Greg?
What's up, fellas? How you doing?
What's up, Greg? How you doing, man?
I don't get to talk to you often, but I really do enjoy your show.
Appreciate you, Greg.
So I don't know if you remember who I am, but I'm a big football guy. So I'm a geek and a half. I watch every action game I can.
He the one that watched the action game.
Yeah, you know Quinion. So what do you think?
He's really a stud. He really is, and it was really good to see the clips against him playing against Marvin Harrison. It's good to hear how he dominated the Senior Bowl when he was playing against that top echelon of receivers. But the Maction, one thing they do, man, they throw the ball. They throw the ball, so that guy can cover. So I really like that pick. Now, kind of going with what you guys were just talking about, for me, the next couple needs we have, to me, are offensive line, linebacker, defensive line, safety, and another receiver, a slot receiver. But the beauty is what Howie's done this offseason is we don't have to draft for a need like that. We're really just filling depth here, you know, as far as I see it. And I had a couple things here I wanted to run past you guys and see what you think, because we have two picks tonight, as we know. So do we try to package up one of those second rounders, because we don't have a third rounder? Maybe move down. We might have to sweeten the pot with – we got tons of fourth round, fifth round picks, whatever. And right now we got a boatload of young corners that we might be able to package something together and get a third rounder. What do you guys think?
So I would definitely trade. I looked at a list this morning. They have 11 corners now on this roster.
So you're thinking about potentially trading some away?
Yeah. Obviously, Bradbury would be the one I'd want to trade away. I'm not sure if there's any value for him.
I wouldn't want to get rid of none of the young Thundercats, because I think it's going to be a situation where you got a lot of competition for playing time at those positions, and you're going to need at least three, maybe four good corners.
Yeah, but like Joe said, Hugh, we honestly have 9, 10, 11 corners.
I think the consensus is we still don't know who is who. Because I like Keely Ringo. But a lot of people here don't. Like, you know what I mean? So it's kind of hard. Eli Ricks played pretty decent last year. We got Isaiah Rodgers. So I would rather see, like, I hear what you're saying, but if I'm trading anybody, I would want that to be closer to the season if it looks like, you know, guys aren't going to stick or whatever.
And
because
they could
I want
to
see what I got.
Yeah, yeah, we'll see. We'll see. Now, Ringo, believe it or not, Ringo was my guy last year. That's who I wanted. I think he fell to us, and I see Ringo and I see Quinion as our two outside corners of the future, period, end of story. Those two guys are untouchable. Anybody else? Talk to me. So that's where I'm going with that, guys. Hey, man, like I said, I enjoy the show, and you guys have a great weekend, and go Birds.
Appreciate it, Greg. Good phone call there. All right, let me throw it at you then. So he brought up an idea. Let's connect a name to an idea. Okay, so we have 2 second-round picks tonight. Hugh, no third-round pick. Let me look up the draft order tonight. Let me just give you a little example so you can
kick it around a little bit.
Yeah, you tell me if you would do this. All right, so tonight's round 2. Eagles have the 50th and the 53rd pick, which equates to the 18th pick in round 2 and the 21st pick. They have no third-round pick, okay? Mm-hmm. Let's say tonight, after the second round is done, the third round is up, right? Third round on the clock. The Carolina Panthers are the 65th pick. Let's say with the second pick in the third round, 66 overall, our old buddy Jonathan Gannon calls and says, you know what? I want to win next year. We want to try to make the playoffs. We'll send you the second pick in the third round tonight for Darius Slay. Do you make the deal?
You know how I feel about Darius Slay.
So you're making the deal?
Yeah, I make that deal. I mean, and it's, again, and I have to say this because I don't want – no disrespect to Darius Slay. I think he can still play. But I strongly feel, and I have to say this every time that I say this, I strongly feel like the way that they're going to want to play defense, he's not going to fit into what they're trying to do.
Yeah, the reason I bring it up, I still think he has some tread left.
No,
in the
he
tire.
Still can play. He can still play.
But
Darius Slay can still play.
They drafted Mitchell in the first round. We think he's going to get on the field.
Yeah.
If they believe in Kelee Ringo the way you believe in Kelee Ringo,
he's probably going to play.
And there's also Isaiah Rodgers, who is just clear. Like, if they have 11 corners on the roster right now, I don't. Our last caller, his point about trading one of them at some point could make sense. And they don't have a third round pick tonight. They have two twos. They don't have a third round pick tonight. Where'd the third round pick go? Was that the Kenny Pickett deal? I think Kenny Pickett is where the third round pick went. I think that's why they don't have a third round pick tonight. Like the 98th pick for Kenny Pickett, or they swapped, right? They took the Steelers 4th and they gave them their 3rd. I think it was something like that is why they don't have a third round.
Yeah, number 98 went.
Yeah, 98 the Steelers have it. That was the Eagles. Ziggy is up next. Hey, Ziggy. Ziggy, you there, buddy?
Yeah, Joe.
What's up?
Listen, yeah, I can't believe it. I'm kind of stunned. When Kyle picked up the phone, I was screaming my head off because, Joe, guess what, Joe? We got the best athlete coming out of the draft. We got the number one guy. I know they're talking about that quarterback for New England and how he's the best guy. No, we got the best cornerback. We got the best player coming out of the draft this year, Joe. We did it.
And Ziggy, they didn't have to trade up. They got the guy that they consider the best corner, and they didn't have to give up an extra pick. That's my favorite part of it.
Well, it was beautiful. He just fell to us. So now we can still get a linebacker, offensive lineman, and we don't have to do anything. Maybe we'll juggle something tonight. I don't know. But guess what? It doesn't matter. We are so stacked right now, dude. I can't wait.
Well, it only took 2 decades for them to draft a corner in the first round, so hopefully
it was
wait. It's forever
right.
Here.
No, this kid is everything about Philadelphia. He's got that. He's a Philly guy, I'm telling you. Just the fact his loyalty alone, pushing the money away just to be loyal, yeah. You couldn't ask for a better draft choice.
Ziggy, that's the thing that hit me. I mean, obviously he could play and he's fast and he could cover and all these attributes. But I was struck by that because you don't see that anymore, Ziggy. Everyone's all about themselves and their next stop, and he was loyal to that program.
And guess what, Joe? One other thing. That fancy, fast kid that Kansas City drafted, guess who's going to be covering him in the Super Bowl, Joe? Guess who?
Quinion Mitchell. Yep.
Yes, sir. And guess who's going to have a hard time making receptions that day, Joe?
Worthy. Xavier Worthy.
I'm telling you, baby. I'm telling you. Worthy will be unworthy on the Super Bowl Sunday.
I like that
this
one.
Year.
You're a headline writer, Ziggy. Good phone call. So we appreciate it. How about Andy Reid getting that kid Xavier Worthy? I think he got to Sean Jackson 2.0. That's how fast he is.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a good pick by them.
I just hit up one of their coaches and told them they got a pretty good kid, and his mama was fine. So you know.
You know, you got to throw the bomb.
Yeah, well, I told my frat brother that.
So, yeah. Man, I was thinking about last night. So not only did the Chiefs get Xavier Worthy, the Bills traded out of that pick to give Xavier Worthy to the Chiefs.
Yeah, and they need some receivers.
Imagine being Josh Allen watching the draft. Like, wait a second.
Wait, what you doing?
You didn't take the receiver from me. You traded it to Mahomes, making it harder for me to beat him anyway? Like, what are we doing here? 215-592-9494. All right, coming up next, we'll find out whether I or Hugh had the better mock draft. Also get my big board for tonight as we enter day two of the NFL draft. Your phone calls, and we may have a special guest for you. Maybe a surprise coming up next. Your phone calls, lot to discuss. Midday show on Sports Radio 94 WIP. The NBA playoffs, FanDuel, in partnership with Valley Forge Casino, is giving all customers two chances to bring home a win with the no-sweat same-game parlay every weekend of the playoffs. Just place a same-game parlay in any playoff matchup. You'll get bonus bets back if you don't win. Bet on everything from rebounds to assists to three-pointers and more. Visit FanDuel.com/GIGLIO and shoot your shot on America's number one sportsbook. FanDuel Sportsbook is the official partner of 94WIP. FanDuel, official sports betting partner of the NBA. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/AcrossAmerica.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.